93.5, 95.3,
Connect FM. Mondays and Fridays, Brother Johnny. He's in Philo for the next few hours. Yeah. Johnny!
TVJ.
I call him the Thomas Edison of oil and gas, 56 international patents. Yet another technology award coming up at the Offshore Technology Conference coming up in late April, early May.
He's awesome.
He is awesome. Amazing innovator of our time. Mike Ditka, icon, Hall of Fame, football coach, football player, amazing golfer. Today from Naples. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, Steve. Thank you.
And don't forget about movie star.
Steve. Movie star. Absolutely right. Worthy of the little golden statues, darn good as he was in kicking and screaming, among others. All right. Firstly, the basketball game's fun. Johnny, Purdue keeps playing. They beat Kansas. They stopped.
I tell you, Steve. Well, you know, that's just sports. I'm watching it, and, you know, they had got a rhythm going, and they had the ball with 3 points and quit. They just, and there was a minute and 20 seconds left. Holy cow. And they just let the problem is they got out of their rhythm. They let the clock run down, and then they just threw a Hail Mary up and, of course, missed. And then they lost the game. But, yeah. Yeah, that was a good game. They had a bunch of them, didn't they? Whew.
I tell you, Mike, hard to call some of these upsets. Norfolk State over the weekend beats Missouri, as does Lehigh beat Duke. Wow.
Yeah, you heard of the bracket busters, though. I had Missouri and Duke. Okay, well, next year.
Well, you know, in these pools, the crazy one on ESPN, the one that that millions got in, some guy picked every game in the second round correctly. Every game. He had the Ohio Bobcats going to the Sweet. He had North Carolina State go. I don't know how you do that, Johnny. I have no idea.
Wait, now, starting from scratch?
No, he missed the Missouri game. He missed the Norfolk State game, but he got 42 out of 48, including every single one in the second round.
That's pretty good work right there.
Come on.
Because those teams that upset lost the next round. So then he picked the winners, and so he has the Sweet 16 correct.
Yeah, it's the Sweet 16 correct. I don't know how you do this. I mean, you know, usually people that can pick some of these upsets have Xavier winning it all, you know, something like that. But no, he has a legitimate Final Four. It's just all very crazy to me how you can do this.
Well, I mean, I guess, but I tell you, it's hard to, you never know. And I think that you're going to see a fairly conventional fallout. I think, you know what I mean, with somebody like Kentucky.
Yeah,
Kentucky fans are planning to come to New Orleans, so they'll be downright disappointed if they don't make that. And then, of course, Kansas is still in there. The usual suspects.
Yeah.
And so I don't know who's the dark horse in the 16. I think the Big Ten's got four teams in there now, so that's good work.
Four should have been five. Michigan lost. Otherwise, the Big Ten's 9-2. So we're
Well, we knew that. Holy cow.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Illinois. We really had a pretty good basketball team, and it was a struggle. Everybody where you looked, there wasn't an easy win.
No question. All right, with Mike Ditka, we were just talking about the tournament, and how do you pick Norfolk State over Missouri and Lehigh over Duke, Mike? I mean, that's crazy.
Well, you don't pick them. I mean, that's what makes it so, you know, any of these small colleges, I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, they're athletes. Nobody told them they're not supposed to win. And every year you're going to have the Cinderella teams. You know that as well as I know. Norfolk came back to reality. I don't know what in the world happened in the second game. The first game, they played defense out of this world, played no defense at all yesterday against Florida.
And I was also mentioning how eerily quiet it is on the Illinois basketball coaching front. Johnny called Shaka Smart as our next coach, purely out of the gut in his basketball gut. And who knows, Johnny, but there's nobody talking about it. There's nobody mentioning anything. There's nothing but champagne. Things aren't emanating anywhere except out of Champaign-Urbana.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I still going to stick with Shaka Smart. I think he's really be great. I think a lot of teams would want him, and I don't know if he wants to leave Virginia Commonwealth. And, of course, they tell you what, they should have won that game, or very well could have won that game.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, the thing is, too, John, it doesn't matter if they get him or they get Red Auerbach or whoever they get. You got to get the players in there. I mean, it's fine to say, I understand coaches are very important, then they're necessary. But you got to have players. You got to be able to recruit. You know, I think the thing that happened in Illinois, unfortunately, fired a good man. Fired a man who was good for the university and good for the program, and he's gone. Now they're going to, I don't know what they're going to do.
No.
Well, we'll find a coach. We'll see how we do and go on. It's hey, that's a tough. I wouldn't take that job, by the way. Athletic director? Are you kidding? That's a tough job,
yeah.
DJ.
All right, to the NFL with Mike Ditka, brother Johnny. I got a real crummy feeling that, and this is crummy only from the sense I'm a Saints fan. I think Peyton Manning's going to sign with the 49ers, Mike.
I think it looks pretty good now, and I can, you know, Jim Harbaugh is a pretty persuasive individual, and you know, I saw where the quarterback from the 49ers,
Alex Smith is in Miami. Yeah.
So I, you know, I don't know. I'm just saying that, boy, I tell you what, it would be a pretty good marriage, him and Jim. I mean, really would be good. They got a great defense, as you know. They got a good running game. They probably need one more receiver, but they got a great tight end. But one, you know, they get one more receiver.
Well,
and you know, and another thing, Peyton makes a lot of the average guys pretty good.
They signed Mario Manningham yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. He's a good football player. Right? He's really
well, smart. The thing is, too, the weak link you could probably say was Alex Smith if you talk to the San Francisco fans. And you throw Peyton Manning in there, even if he's at 70%, I don't want anything to do with him.
Yeah.
Nothing. Holy cow.
Well, they're making their move to get back in the Super Bowl and be the 49ers of the 80s and 90s era. That organization is going in the right direction right now.
And if you're Peyton Manning, don't you want to play for a team that gives you the best chance to win again, Mike?
And a coach. I think you got a coach in Harbaugh, too, that's special. I think you got a very disciplined individual there who stays the course, who knows what he wants. I don't think he's to the point where he wouldn't listen to advice from anybody or he wouldn't listen to Peyton if Peyton wanted to change something. But he's got a pretty good mindset about how he wants to run this organization, kind of players he wants. He wants a player like Peyton Manning.
Well, now, I heard that somebody told me.
Didn't Jim Harbaugh play for the Chicago Bears?
Of course he did. Yeah, I drafted him, yeah.
Well, so as a quarterback, and of course I'm thinking way back, my mind's not what it used to be. So, yeah, you know all about Jim Harbaugh, so
interesting. You'll never meet a better competitor, Johnny.
I'll tell you.
He's like you, he's a bulldog now. I don't care what you play, golf, tennis, ping pong, cards. I mean, I used to play cards with him on the plane. Jim, and he was the greatest competitor, great guy. I mean, you got to love what they're doing, and of course you put a marriage like that together. If Peyton is healthy, I think that's the key thing, guys.
All right, now what about the ego? I mean, is there any ego issue that if somebody said, "Oh, Harbaugh's got to be able to control it, and he takes pride in shaping Alex Smith, and he'll never be able to let go of the offense like that"? Is there any truth to stuff like that?
He's not stupid. Harbaugh's not stupid. He's smart. You know, every once in a while, in about every 25, 30 years, a guy like Peyton Manning comes along. And he understands that. Believe me, he knows what he gets. If he gets them, he knows what he got, and he'll certainly work with them. They'll work hand in hand, put the best offense together they can.
That sounds like a pretty scary deal.
Yeah, it does.
Holy cow.
It really does. And the Saints, meanwhile, are trying to just hold everybody together.
Yeah, well, it's just like Mike said, you can't hold these. I'll tell you something. It's hard. We'll see what we come up with. But, you know, if you keep your core guys, and we had so much offense that we'll probably be all right. But, hey, look. It's a business, and we've got, eight starters up, Mike. You got to try to figure out who you can pay for.
And an all-pro offensive lineman, I think. And you actually tendered the quarterback, which I'm sure doesn't make him happy. So, I mean, it's a tough situation. I mean, like I said, you know, there's a salary cap. There's only so much money you can spend. We understand everybody wants to max out, get as much as they can. And I don't blame the players for that. I think that's it. But I don't blame the owners either for saying, okay, here's what we got. We can't spend more than we got.
The problem is there's a double-edged sword when you roll up more offense than anyone in the history of NFL. Everybody wants to be paid the most.
Absolutely,
all 11
absolutely.
Of them.
Yeah. It just, you're not going to be able to do all that. All right, let's go to some of the audio tape that I want to share here this morning. We begin with Occupy. Let's listen in over the weekend. Some turbulence.
We can peacefully assemble and express ourselves, and they're trying to take that away from us, and it is absolutely abhorrent. And I've been involved with Occupy for a really long time. It was the scariest experience I've ever had at Occupy.
All the money, can't you see?
What? this have a factor in the upcoming election, Johnny?
Well, what was that particular incident, Stevie? Just the general?
Well, occupation? They were out there. The police, they said, was strong-arming them. They were over in Zuccotti Park, where it all originated in New York. They were putting up tents, or so they or the police said. Oh, we weren't putting up tents. I mean, this is just a, it's just a, they say it's their Arab Spring. And they're back. They're going to be here. They hung low for the winter because it was too cold. And now here we go into the election cycle.
Well, she said she's been in Occupy a long time. I guess she's a veteran occupier. I don't know. I don't. I'm there. Hey, look, if they want to complain, let them complain as long as they don't really infringe on everybody else's enjoyment too. But I don't know what kind of impact they're going to have. I mean, we got problems. I don't think anybody needs to be convinced of that. So why don't they try to fix them?
The one impact they're going to have, John, is they're going to disrupt society in that area. They're going to make it hard for the police to do the job that they should be doing, which is protecting the public and serving the public, because they got to be on alert for these people. They're going to make it hard. They're going to cost the city a lot of money because they're going to have to clean up. You know, there's so many things that happen. And it's like this lady said, I'm a longtime occupier. What does she do? What's her job?
What's her apparently job? That's her job.
See, that's the problem we're having right now. You know, we have, and I understand it. You know, I understand about government, regulation, too big, all that. But, you know, you have a right to assembly, and you have a right to free speech. But you don't have a right to disturb the society as we know it because of your, whatever it is, your bias against something.
And maybe that's their goal, Mike. Maybe that's really what they're out there just trying
to... They are. There's no question what the goal is.
Chaos.
I mean, how do you get attention?
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get attention, I mean, you know, what do? Rob a bank? You get attention. I mean, what do? You want to lay down the middle... You will get attention if you lay down the middle of the street, or else you'll get killed.
Yeah. All right. L McPherson, the supermodel, asked on the Howard Stern Show about this election.
Who should be the next president of the United States? Al McPherson.
I think Obama's going to do it.
You like Obama?
Yeah, I'm living in London, and I'm socialist. What do you expect?
All right, socialist. What do you expect, Johnny?
Well, so I guess you got to remember socialist in our context is just a state authority. The state authority, a big government, and you have to have confidence that your government can make everything right for everyone, and of course that through history has never worked. And our idea of let everybody have the maximum potential, let every person do the most that they can do, and that gives more people a chance to reach their potential, and it also helps the most people reach their potential because there's more legitimate folks all over the place showing the way, and that's why America's been great. So socialism, we got to define it because it sounds like a bad word. Nobody really knows what it is. It's basically just huge, massive government with regulations. Mike, we see it in every part of our life. We've talked about it.
We're becoming socialistic. You know that. Let me give you guys a quote that I read a long time ago from Vince Lombardi. And here's what he said. He said, it's becoming increasingly difficult to be tolerant of a society that only has sympathy for the misfits, the maladjusted, the criminals, and the losers. He said, pity them and help them. He said, it's about time in our society we started to stand up and cheer for the doers, for the achievers, for those people who recognize the problem and then do something about it. In other words, for the winners and leaders in life. He said that back in the late 50s or early 60s. Mm. I mean, it's so true. I mean, it is. And that's what we're falling into this trap now. Well, if you have... We're going to take it from you because this guy doesn't have. Well, there's a reason he doesn't have. He probably hasn't applied himself.
But the problem that the socialist system, which sounds good on paper because it says everybody is going to have a more equal amount, so no one's going to have everything while these poor other people can't hardly eat. Well, that sounds great because we don't want that those people to suffer by any means. But the reality is someone has to decide who gets what. And then it starts to go south on you. So that's why our guys who started the United States of America wanted to give everybody the best shot and then let the cream rise to the top, I guess. And the way to do that is just break down the power of a central government, and we're building that power back up because we're sending them all of our money,
but
there's real resistance to
it. But they say now it won't happen like that. We learn from history. We'll have a new kind of socialism. It'll work better.
People are the same, Mike. Human beings are pretty consistent, and everything will get corrupted if the power goes into one spot. That's just the way it's going to be.
I just saw in the news this morning, one state, you can't read the Bible in your house. You can't collect rainwater. You cannot collect rainwater. Stop it. Now, what is that all about? Are you crazy? Are these people crazy who are trying to be officials of our states and country? And you can't read the Bible in your own house? Stop it.
Well, and that's the kind of craziness that you get into when a single authority decides because somebody influences them in that way. We can kind of see the choice. It's either a huge, massive bureaucracy, which is also frustrating, or more freedom. And I think that's it. I think it's pretty clear, and I think you got to pick the person who you like. Elle McPherson's right. Obama's the one if she's a socialist, I think.
All right, final segment here. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. I've got to ask you about gas prices. Johnny is one of the leaders in this oil and gas industry. He's going to have a good idea. I want you to hear David Axelrod talking about the pipeline and oil and gas in general. David Axelrod from the Sunday shows yesterday.
He's certainly not hostile to transporting oil, but we have to do it in the appropriate way and protect the public safety. The notion that we can simply drill our way out of this, or that somehow that if we say that the gas prices will go down magically now, Newt Gingrich is $2.50 a gallon and so on, that's not oil talk. That's snake oil talk.
All right, snake oil talk, Johnny.
Well, I'll tell you, there's your snake oil talker right there. I don't know about Dave, but I think that allowing more freedom for search of energy, such as up in Alaska especially, where there's really no threat to the environment, the idea that we can drill more would knock gas prices down, Steve. I think he's dead wrong about that. And certainly you can implement the construction of the pipeline much more quickly. They're basically mealy-mouthing that one, Mike, because they don't want it, but they don't have any real political equity in terms of a reason not to have it. So they're just stalling. They're saying, well, we're looking at it. We haven't eliminated that. And, of course, there's no pipeline and no oil.
Well, you've heard over and over the president say you can't drill your way out of this. Well, I don't know. I don't know any other way to get out of it unless you produce more gasoline. And, I mean, you think the solution is to keep taxing the oil companies? That's not going to bring about a lowering of the gas price. It's really not. And that's what they're doing right now. So I'm not an expert. I don't know. But I would think if you have the oil reserves and you can do it in a good way, a clean way to protect the environment, then you've got to drill and you've got to produce more oil. You can't be sending money to other parts of the world to help them with their oil production when we're cutting back on ours. Doesn't make any sense.
And we've got a lot of potential, too, and we can drill safely. We have been doing it for decades, and there's plenty of money. The oil companies have the money to do it. I think if the government wanted any involvement, then they should incentivize them to spend their money drilling domestically. And we've got all kinds of potential energy. I think we can get out of it, and I think Axelrod's just kind of trying to rationalize, what is it, $4 a gallon?
Well,
I
mean, $4.05 here, more in Chicago, I'm sure, and more in the big cities, no question. Why don't they just say they're going to do all of this and just change your mind in November? Why? I mean, you could do that as a political deal, just say, we're going to do the pipeline, we're going to open up Alaska, want to do all this, and then I think the speculators would freak out.
Well, don't give them any ideas, Steve. I don't think they should say something if they clearly want to just change their minds, but they might.
Well, I just know that this whole outrage for the insider trading, right? Remember the story, the book that came out, Martha Stewart is evil, but all of our congresspeople and senators can inside trade legally. Well, of course, that made it through the House, but it quietly got defeated in the Senate, and I don't hear anything about it. I mean, it continues where we get this incredible, ridiculous double standard, and it makes us more sarcastic, if it's even possible to be more sarcastic and cynical about our government.
Well, I don't mean, what you're saying is right. I mean, what's happened now? I think the abuse of power by politicians is ridiculous. I mean, you're here to serve the people. You're elected by the people to serve the people. We went through all this. It's all written down in the Constitution of the United States. And all of a sudden now, it's become a thing of elitist when you get to Washington, D.C. Now, all of a sudden, I'm in a certain group. My job is not to serve. My job is to try to extend my stay here. And basically, no matter what they say, that's part of it. I want to stay here for 12, 15 years, make a career out of it. You go there, and that's why term limits should be put on in every segment of our government. I mean, if it's on for the president, it should be on for the senators, the representatives, everybody else.
The most disturbing thing to me, I go back to the free press, because if we had a free, honest press that didn't have some sort of agenda, we would hear about all that, Steve. Because
you have one on Fox.
Yeah. But it's not enough. I mean, the other colleagues shout them down enough, and it's not keeping people in line, I guess. It's not holding people accountable. So like Steve says, we have this double standard, and if it doesn't fit their agenda, they're not going to report that the Senate can do their insider trading because they voted that down. So we need a democracy needs an uncompromised free press, and I'm not sure what we got.
All right, gentlemen, we'll have to leave it there. We'll convene again on Friday. Johnny, a pleasure. Always, Mike, thank you so much, both of you.
Well, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Stevie.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you. Mike Ditka, brother Johnny. Today, Mike from Naples, Johnny in Philo for a few more hours.
Excellent.
He leaves once again. He's in and out of town quite a bit. Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.2 Connect FM, brought to you by Flightstar, by VersaBar, and by Menechi's Restaurant.